Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Yes, I'm here. Eric Johnson is out this week with a little bit of luck and the grace of God and a few other injections. He will be back on Monday. In the meantime, it's Friday afternoon, round and third in for home, and here he is, Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist.
My lucky day.
Hey, Will. Me too. Good to see you again.
It is great. It's great to see you. Wish, you know, it's not like a funeral. I wish the circumstances were different. Not, I don't wish that Eric was sick, but I'm glad that I get to visit with my neighbor and my friend on a Friday afternoon, a frigid Friday afternoon.
Golly, it went from like 10 above to 10 below in 20 minutes yesterday morning, and here we are. But it was a short-lived cold snap, 36 hours or so, and we're looking at teens above for overnight lows starting Sunday. And
really?
Tomorrow will
tell
be
me more, Mick. 30, tell me more.
30s above. Oh, so our January thaw, well, we had one day of above 30. I think we were 31 that one day in January. But, yeah, it's going to be above zero, above 32, rather, for a couple of, every other day as we get into next week.
And I don't want to to take you down a path that you'd rather not go down, but as you're officially full-time retired, do you find yourself, I know you're still doing a lot of the weather, do you find yourself still going through some of the same like benchmarks in life, wake up, do this throughout the day?
Yeah, actually, so I went from doing a two-hour show in the afternoon to doing a half-hour show in the morning.
Right.
Rather than do that the night before, forever, when I was on TV, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, went to work.
No. You got up in the middle of the night.
This is true.
2 o'clock is not early in the morning, Mick.
A lot of people, the bars close at 2 o'clock now. Right. So I got up at 5 a.m. for the last 10 years or so to do the weather for all the radio stations. But I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do some weather and then at night do this half-hour show for the following morning based on the farm news of the day. So I figured, I'll get up in the morning, and then I discovered I can't do it all before the show. So instead of getting up at 5 a.m., now I'm getting up at 4 a.m. So what a dummy. Huh?
I love it. Because folks, and if you've listened to Mick and I visit, it is – legitimately, we are friends and we are neighbors, and we've known each other for a long time. But one of the things that you told me, and I don't remember how many years ago you retired from TV.
8 years now, coming up on 8 years.
Okay, coming up on 8 years of retirement from TV. And you had told me at the time, with the clock and the schedule and the way things are going, you put things in such a great context for, and that's part of what makes Mick Kerr what it is, because you can bring the context to it, is you said you never really get used to getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
But you said, I got unused to it in a hurry.
Yeah, darn tootin'. What I couldn't do was stay awake in the evening.
Yeah.
I mean, during the course of the week, working two jobs, working 15, 16 hours every day, during the course of the week, Fridays, most people are revved up and ready to go out and do something. I couldn't wait to go to bed.
You're hitting the dimmer.
No, I was cross-eyed by 7 p.m. So, since the late 80s, I got up in the, like you said, in the middle of the night, which meant as the week progressed, I was going to bed earlier and earlier and earlier. I was tighter and tireder. And so I still... 9 o'clock, man. I'm lights out. Good night.
Do you find it? And I know we're into the rough a little bit, or we pulled onto the approach. But do you find yourself? And I know you haven't been retired too terribly long, and you've had a lot of other things that have changed in your life along with that. But I always thought it might be because you get to 7 o'clock at night, and you don't feel like tackling more work. So maybe you just, it's not that you necessarily got tired, but you just, shifted from third gear, you downshift a little bit, mm-hmm. and then you just naturally like, okay, well, I'm not working. I might as well just go to bed because I'm not doing anything productive anymore.
And there ain't nothing on TV either.
Well, that's been, that was Andy and Opie. Ever since Andy and Opie were gone, there hasn't been anything good on TV since then.
No, the Hogan's Heroes right. and all those, nothing on. Now, there is a new show that sounds pretty good, Swamp People.
Swamp?
people. They're catching alligators. And
Okay, because I was thinking to myself, mirror pool.
Yeah, no. They're catching alligators down in Louisiana, and it's a pretty good show.
Have you come up and I know you've always had some fantastic hobbies throughout your life, from music to baking to gardening and fishing. Have you put up a goal list of things that you're now going to do that don't include the honey-do list?
Because of the last 30 and 40 years of just ridiculous schedule,
right?
My honey-do list is a mile long, so I got to take care of that first.
Oh, okay.
Then I can do some other things. Now that I'm slowing down on professional broadcasting, I can do some amateur broadcasting. Got into something I wanted to do since I was 12 years old, ham radio, and I'm going to get into that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I've had my license for about 20 years, but never did anything with it and didn't have time. And now I'm studying for the extra class, which is like the most advanced license you can get, and so I'm working on that.
I'm gonna take you inside the house down the street from me, inside the closed doors, because just the other day, as you know, growing up with a busy family, you've got people passing. I'm walking through the hallway and I hear my son say to his youngest sister, "So, how's that book, Ham Radio for Dummies, coming along?" So my six-year-old daughter, she went up to the library.
Wow.
And she got a book on ham. It was one of those yellow books, uh-huh. Ham Radio for Dummies. So once you said ham radio, and she had asked me, not so long ago, "Do you think it'd be okay if I..." And I'm like, "I'm not going to tell you no."
Yeah.
So ham radio is coming back, Mick.
It is. It's a great public... It's a great hobby. And she is how old?
She's 16.
16.
Yeah.
Let's get her going. I'll get her into the club, and we'll...
Is there a ham radio club?
Oh, yeah, there is. The Red River Radio Amateurs.
Oh, wow. So I love that.
Yeah, we'll make that happen. So.
Well, next thing you know, you'll be playing horseshoes too, Mick.
Possibly.
Horseshoe and ham radio. That's retirement for Mick Kerr, huh?
So far, no shuffleboard, no Sudoku.
No.
Yeah, that's why I got to keep interviewing people on the radio. I do not like Sudoku. So my brain's going to stay active, just not doing the normal crosswords.
I'm so with you. Because there is more than one way to keep an active mind. It doesn't have to be doing word search or... I every once in a while, I force myself to look at a crossword puzzle. I go, why?
Yeah.
I have no interest.
My wife and mom into those, did two or three, as many as possible in a day. And... No thanks.
I don't have the patience for checkers half the time. I mean, chess is not even in the conversation. I'll sit down and play checkers. I'm like, okay, let's get this over with as quick as we can.
Yeah. Hey, we better get to some business here.
We got work to do, Mick.
The cold is behind us. The cold snap that we've had, it has been, by winter severity standards, it's been kind of a tough winter, even though I think we'll come out of this cold snap, look back and go, hey, that wasn't too bad.
We had basically, about a 4 week breath where, we could stop. There was that time from when the first blizzards were hitting central North Dakota and western North Dakota.
They started in October.
Yeah, before deer season.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the state got with the program after deer season, the second weekend of deer season. I'll remember the Sunday when the wind picked up, that Sunday of the opening weekend of deer season, and everything from there really through Mick's retirement. I mean, I think basically
through Christmas.
Once we hit January 5th or 6th, and there, mm-hmm. we kind of took the foot off the gas and coast a little bit. So that was, it was what the critters needed. It's what the farmers and the ranchers needed. It's what the cattle needed. But the problem that we've had is the way it started, with all that snow, with all that ice, and with all that cold. Because while the snowpack may not have grown as much and may have shrunken a little. You can see the tops crusted over and it shrunk a little bit, but it didn't shrink enough. We still have places, and all the farmers and ranchers listening are nodding their head, where, basically the critters have moved to where they can get away from all that snow. The township roads, the county roads, into small towns, into communities, just because they can't get around. The sloughs are full, the shelter belts full. They've wore some paths. Unfortunately, the paths that they've worn to have been to alfalfa, to silage, to haystacks.
And those paths have drifted in now again. And
yeah.
Some of the drifts are up to the top of the barbed wire fence. So
yeah. And one of the messages, and maybe we can talk a little more about it if we have to, is if you are a farmer or a rancher and you've been experiencing deer depredation, we understand you're not alone. Nothing I can say on the radio on a Friday is going to change what you've gone through. The silver bullet is only a bullet, and that's not the way to do it. I know you might get frustrated. You want to take the 30-odd six out and start shooting deer. All that's going to end up doing is adding more headaches to an already bad situation. So I'll give you my office number, 701-281-1220. If you want to call and holler, I will listen to you. And I've been listening to it, and I will. Because sometimes you really do need to exhale and to tell somebody. We've got a lot of programs and a lot of tools to help reduce deer depredation, but the problem in February started
in October.
In October.
Yeah.
And so trying to fix that problem for this year, we've got some things. We can wrap. We've got pyrotechnics that can help scare deer away. We've got some things that we can do to help. So in all seriousness, call me. Call our Bismarck office. They'll be open until 5 o'clock today, 701-328-6300, 701-328-6300. And we have a policy where we try to respond within 24 to 48 hours, maybe get somebody on the ground to check it out and say, hey, here's a couple of things that we can do to help reduce the problems that are happening. But on a Friday afternoon, I know people get frustrated, Mick. I do.
Yeah. Well, all right. Tools to alleviate deer depredation. We'll talk about it after the break, right here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, Friday afternoon with Doug Lear. This is Farm Talk.